I'm very grateful to whoever keeps leaving money up here. I had $2 at the beginning at the first service when I came to preach, and that's been added to by another dollar. So thank you. Is that money to stop or to carry on? But I've probably stolen someone's birthday money. But if I left it behind, then it can go back. What do you think of when you think of our core, our church, whatever language you use? And when you go and tomorrow, as some of you will, and people will ask you, where did you go yesterday, Sunday? How did you spend the weekend? And some of you will go, well, I went to church and move on. And some of you will say, I went to church with more enthusiasm than that. And the really brave amongst you might say, I spent the day worshipping Jesus. That's a much better response, by the way. What comes to your mind, and what do you think comes to other people's mind when they think of the Salvation Army Newcastle Worship Community Centre? What are the words that we think of? This is audience participation time. You should feel free to participate. Hearing. Caring. Great. Thank you. I should probably do some more hearing. But caring. Yeah, good. More. Charity. Thank you, Amanda. Fellowship. Did I hear? A safe place. Helping hand. Family. Yes, good. People just don't know. So we have the opportunity to say something. Yeah. Dependable. Yeah, even when we don't know what song's happening next. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dependable. Yeah. Any others? Encouragement. All good things, aren't they? Well, this is St. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, a church that he had helped to establish. And he writes to them from his house arrest in Rome. And we're picking up Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. And then we'll go on into chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So I've changed that since standing up, so don't worry, Stacey, you wouldn't have known. Ephesians 1, verse 15, and on into chapter 2, verse 10. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Some of you were here at 9:30. We talked about this already. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Thank you. We're getting there. Praise God. It is only by God's grace you've been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen indeed. So Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he's in Rome, and he's in under house arrest, we'd call it. He's able to receive letters and to write letters, otherwise we wouldn't have them in the Bible. He's able to have visitors. Acts tells us he could see people there, but his movements are very controlled. He's in Rome, and Ephesus is in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. And so this is a world where news does not travel instantly. I could ask a number of you who've got phones this morning to tell me what the news headlines are, and you better tell me straight away. You'd then be instantly ashamed that you had your phone on in the meeting, but that would be a different conversation. News travels to us instantly. I've caught someone. Never use your kids as sermon illustrations. No. News travels very slowly in first century Ephesus. Must do. There's no TV, there's no technology, there's news will be carried by somebody, maybe horse. So the only news you'd bother to send would be the really, really important stuff. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says this: I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people. It's fine, Christine, no one noticed. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says this: I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people. He doesn't say, I've heard how great your charitable works are. He doesn't say, I've heard how caring you are. He doesn't say, I've heard how great your worship is. He doesn't say how great your pianist is. I haven't heard how great your band is. I haven't heard how great your programs are. I haven't heard how great you can add your own list. He says, I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people. There's the church in Ephesus, not many years old, and there's Paul in prison writing to them a few years after he founded that church, and he says, I've heard of your faith and your love. I long for the day when our churches are known for that. When we say to people, we went to church, we went to a Salvation Army Corps, we went to worship, and we went to worship at Newcastle Worship and Community Centre, I long for the day when people say, oh yeah, I've heard about that place. They're people who have faith in Christ and they love people. We've got close to it with some of the things, but that's really the heart of it. And that's an important preamble for this whole thing about holiness and this holiness series for Ephesians, because sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that this is for other people, this gospel message. And Paul is writing to people who already have faith in Christ and love for people. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus says basically that's what it's about. Love God, love people. So Paul is writing to people who get it. Paul is writing to people who are quite likely deep people. And so the call to greater depth and greater understanding of what Jesus has done is as much for us today as it is for them. And you may have been on the Christian road a long time or may just be starting out, but it's a call for all of us to go deeper into the things of God. Here is a church known for its faith in Christ and known for its love. A church then that's known for putting its faith into action, loving people, expressing. So it's about holiness in action. See, holiness isn't a private thing. When we think of those images of holiness, and we've had a few of them over the last couple of weeks, sometimes you think about people who go off to monasteries or nunneries and kind of withdraw from the world, and that, if that's people's calling, that's fine. We don't critique that. But we're a holiness movement, and we're an activist movement, I think. Is it just me? We are still a Salvation Army called to call people to newness of life in Christ. We are about that. And we are still a holiness movement. And we are called to put our holiness into action, expressing what Christ means to us through who we are. So this Ephesians letter is for all of us, for the people known for faith and love. And that's kind of a starting point, faith in Christ. But it's also about power in Christ. It's about being alive in Christ, being raised by Christ, and being created anew, created in Christ. It's about our faith in Christ, having our power in Christ, being alive in Christ, being raised by Christ, and being created in Christ. I don't expect you to remember five headings. But there's a kind of continuum in this passage that takes us through what Jesus does for us. I've used the New Living Translation today. I don't normally, but this particular translation of this particular passage just really works so well for what I believe we need to be sharing. Even before verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, we're reminded, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That was the holiness inheritance. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. We were destined for life with Christ and destined to express this life of holiness, this life of depth, this life of setting everything that we have apart for his service. There's a song that we will use a little bit later, which talks about asking Jesus to make us more like him, more loving, more trusting. That's the life of holiness, giving all that we have to all that he is. Not necessarily withdrawing from the world, but taking all of that into the world. I'm set apart for Jesus. We just sung that too. And so this beautiful passage in chapter 2 reminds us of what God has done for us. The God who is rich in mercy. We were talking in the first service this morning. When we read that, sometimes we need to respond to that straight away, verbally sometimes. We can't just... it's important to listen to Scripture reverently. But when you read words like this, you want to respond, don't you? God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus does for us. It's all about who he is, and it's all about who he can make us become. And Paul, in those 10 verses, takes us through it. You are dead in your sin. You were made alive in Christ, and you've got a job to do. Simple. All of us. No matter how sorted and how together it might appear to others that we have it, we're all in that place. And were it not for Jesus, we are all in trouble. Paul's got it right. You are dead in Christ. You are dead in your sin. You are raised to life in Christ. And you have work to do. It says that the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is available to you. That is just one of those sentences in the Bible that we need to just sit and think about. That is enormous. The same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is available to you. Just ponder on the mystery of that. And that's the great promise. Everything that he has is available to you and I. The quality of life that he enjoys with the Father is available to you and I. The intimacy that Jesus has with the Father is the same intimacy you and I are invited into. And it's not for us. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Well, think about where your favorite masterpiece might be, a piece of art that you like. There are art galleries in Australia. A few. A few art galleries in Australia. No, there are. There are galleries around. There are places you might have been traveling, you might have been to see some of the great masterpieces. I've been to the Louvre in Paris. Yeah, if you go and get a trip to any of those places. And if you go and see a great piece of art, it will be hung on a wall, it'll have security measures around it, it'll have technology around it, probably a rope, you know, the kind of rope we used to stop people coming to the mercy seat. Well, some of you think we should have those back again, I can tell. We'll leave that one. There'll be something to stop you touching this artwork, won't there? You know, this sort of thing? A masterpiece hung up. And you'll have to pay to see it. Probably. You'll certainly have to pay to travel to wherever the gallery is to see it and park, and then you have to pay to go in. So masterpieces in our world aren't very accessible things, are they? Here's the promise. You are God's masterpiece. You've been created anew to do good works planned for you long ago. Ephesians 2 verse 10. You are God's masterpiece. Have a look around at the masterpieces of God. Say to each other, "You are God's masterpiece." And it's true again. Whenever you do that, we can't stop laughing. We smile. We are a little bit embarrassed to say those sorts of things. Some of us just don't. I don't do that. I'm English. We don't do that. And some of you obviously want to be Englishmen. That's okay. No one has to do anything in worship. The rule is don't spoil it for anyone else. So... It's a good rule, though, isn't it? Yeah. So, you're God's masterpiece, and we can't say it to each other without laughing because we struggle to take that seriously. But that's the truth. And you're the God's masterpiece that's not hanging on a wall, privately hidden away, that people have got to pay a lot of money to see. You're out there where everyone can see you, and people would see something of God's image in you. That's holiness in action. Bearing the divine image into a world that people need to see, are hungry to see something different. If I'd been better organized, I'd have brought a mirror in and we would have held it up facing away from me. And if we tilted the mirror, if I had it this way, if I got it right, Delma would better see Jim. If I got the right angle of the mirror, then vice versa. You can look directly at each other as well. That's how bearing a divine image works, you see. You reflect the light so other people can see something different. We're not bearers of God's image. We're in God's image not to look like him, but to reflect his likeness in the world. You're God's masterpiece, and in you people will catch something different. See something new, new possibilities, newness, because we carry with us the newness of life that Christ gives us, all for his glory. Verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. Now personalize that as God's promise to you today. And if you're sat there thinking you've got no task to do, let me remind you that God looks at you through the lenses of eternity. And he says this, God can point to you and me in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. My question to you today is simply this, can God do that? Are you so available to him that he will be able to point to you in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us? If you're open to it, that'll be possible. God wants to point to you as an example of his grace. Let him.